Welcome to Absolute Truth Absolutely, the weekly podcast powered by LWYM and your host, Gio. If you're uncompromising in your search and preservation of the truth, you've come to the right place. Now here's your host, Gio, with Pastor Jesus Martinez.
Ladies and gents, Absolute Truth Absolutely. This is Gio, your host as always, and with me, Pastor Jesus Martinez. And today we are talking about devotion. I think it's important first that we give it its proper definition, if you will, because in the angle that we're going to be bringing this today, I guess a lot of people have touched upon it, but not in this manner or to this depth. And I think it's important that we give it its proper definition. Now, let me say this, and I know that you're of the same thought. The older the dictionary, the better, right?
Yeah, because things are getting redefined and re-explained. So, yeah, I would agree with that.
So, for that instance and for that reason, we're going to use Webster's 1828 dictionary. This is the original Webster's dictionary put together by Noah Webster, who was, by the way, a Christian. And devotion is defined in the following manner. The state of being dedicated, consecrated, or solemnly set apart for a particular purpose. Now, when you look at the other definitions that Webster gives for the word devotion, he also includes dedication unto God. So he had a very biblical way of viewing devotion.
Well, devotion, way back then, had more of a connection to God and to the Christian service to God than the way we use it today. And this is why I agreed that, particularly for some words, I'd rather go to an older dictionary. Because today people are devoted to their work, devoted to their cause, devoted to each other, and devoted to devotion. And so, yeah, I think that when we look at the word in its spiritual, or some would call it religious application, it is most definitely talking about consecration unto God, unto His will.
Now, let's look at some of the things that some people consecrate themselves to, dedicate themselves to, devote themselves to. There are a bunch of different causes. You've got people that are trying to raise awareness about breast cancer, veterans affairs, cure for cancer, autism. I mean, you can think about so many different organizations and people that dedicate themselves to simply, you know, working in favor of noble causes. And they are noble causes. We're not attacking them. We don't want people to think that all of a sudden, all these two guys, all they're doing is attacking all the time. No, we consider those important causes.
Absolutely.
But the thing is that we're bringing at this, we're looking at it from a spiritual angle. Now, before we continue to that, there's also evil causes. For example, Muslims. Muslims, if you're a true Muslim, you're going to try to commit yourself, dedicate yourself strictly to what the Quran, the Hadiths, the Sharia law dictates. And that encompasses a whole mess of different things. Whether it's stoning a woman that is accused of adultery, whether it's killing the infidel, there's a bunch of different things, evil causes that people give themselves to.
Well, there's one particular Muslim now who is running from here to there, taking his cause and showing his cause and preaching about his cause. And when you listen to him for the first time or at the beginning of his presentation, you go, wow, this is like a really noble cause. He's telling people, stop the terrorism. He's telling Muslims, stop the terrorism. And so you listen intently because you go, wow, this is fantastic. But then you listen a little closer, and he's not saying stop jihad altogether, stop terrorism altogether. All he really wants is Muslims to stop killing Muslims. In the documentary, he goes on to say, go ahead and continue jihad against the infidel. And so just because you're devoted to something doesn't mean that your devotion is worthy of recognition. Like you said, there are many great causes out there, and people have done marvelous things by dedicating themselves to that. And so what we are asking is, where is that dedication that we owe Christ, that Christians owe the Lord? Because let's face it, Gio, absolutely no one loves us like Jesus loves us.
Well, so I guess we can consider and we can come to the conclusion that when a person is dedicated to something, it almost really, you know, it, it, it it takes in their entire existence. It defines them, so to speak, because you hear a lot of people say, I'm so dedicated to this. This is all I think about, and this is all they talk about. And you see that their whole existence revolves around that cause or that particular situation, right?
Absolutely. I think some people are so dedicated to something that when you sit down to talk to them, that's all they talk about. They put their money behind that. They put their time behind that. And so, yes, I think it clearly speaks about, you know, the word in today's topic, devotion.
Yeah. So in these cases, you see that they're always planning, for example, marathons, concerts, fundraisers, and even protest actions, stuff like this. This is what they use to promote their causes or their beliefs. Now, there's a particular group of individuals that we want to talk about that they identify with a particular purpose. But yet when you see them walking, so to speak, when you see them living their lives, they say they're totally adhering to the system, if you will, but their lives prove otherwise. And we're talking about Christians. Christians are, I would say, probably the first group that shouldn't fall into this hypocritical category of saying, yes, I am a Christian, but then their walk, the way that they do things, totally contradicts what they say.
Well, the way I see things, Gio, today, when the secularist and the humanist don't like something, the way they get the rest of the people to depart from that and to run away from that is they demonize that mentality, they demonize that project, they demonize the leaders of those ideas and those projects. And so the same thing has happened with that close Christian walk that you are describing and that we should have with the Lord. If you do that, then you get tagged, you get labeled. You call the fanatic. Mm. And so Christians, they don't want to be called fanatic.
Yep.
It's okay to be a New York Yankees fan. It's okay to be a Raiders fan, you know, Red Sox Nation. That's fine.
Yeah.
But to, you know, speak about Jesus and present Jesus, you're a fanatic.
Yeah.
You're a fanatic.
In a negative connotation.
Yes. And so this is why I began to explain that this is one of the tools that is used today by the humanists, by the secularists, by the progressives, by the liberals. They demonize certain ideas, certain projects, certain mentalities. And so this is what happens when a Christian shows devotion. And by that, I mean you could see after a sports event, it's obvious that this is a professional athlete. But just listen to him mention Jesus Christ and you see the person who is doing the interview pull away the microphone and quickly try to change the conversation because he wants him to speak about the great game that he had, but don't mention Jesus. But wait a minute. If you are devoted to the Lord, whether you're a doctor, an attorney, an engineer, or an athlete, somewhere in the conversation, Christ is going to come forth because he's in the center of your heart.
Yeah, but as always, Satan is going to try to use intimidation tactics and demonization in order to try to get a Christian to silence himself or herself about the truth and
exactly.
Therefore suppress the truth. That's
exactly.
The whole point.
Yep.
Now, before we continue, it's important that we define what a Christian is. What is the actual definition of a Christian? Because our culture has become an expert in redefining Christianity. You've got many people who say, well, I believe this about Christianity. I am a Christian, but this is what I believe that a Christian is, the actual definition of Christianity is, so on and so forth. And it's funny that they only do this with Christianity. They don't do it with almost anything else. Why? Because there's a particular outstanding reason why, and we'll get to that in just a second. But for example, you've got Christians, people who call themselves Christians, who go to church. They go to a Catholic church once a year. They go to that mass to have all of their sins of the previous year absolved. Even then, they call themselves bad Catholics, but nevertheless, they deem themselves Christians.
This is true. I've heard them talk to me in their conversations. They go, well, I'm not that good of a Catholic. I just like show up like once a year when somebody dies or something, you know, somebody's getting married. And so, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, but then they'll tell you, no, I'm a Christian. I believe in God, you know, the typical. And then you've got the other set of people who say, I'm a Christian, but I do things my own way. I kind of follow my own set of rules.
Wow, yes.
I wish you could play a professional sport and say, like baseball, I don't believe that the lines outside the foul lines are foul. That's fair for me. That makes no sense. And then you've got another group, for example, like the Norwegian terrorist. Anders Breivik, who in his manifesto, he writes that his definition of a Christian was a secularist who held on to certain Christian dogmas out of Christendom. Now, so you've got all these different definitions. You've got so many people interpreting what Christianity means. What is the right definition?
Well, what happens also, Gio, is that as you read your Bible, you see Jesus asking the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then you do your will and not mine? You don't obey me. You don't submit your will to mine. And so I don't think this problem is a new one. I do think, though, it has grown and continues to grow to the point where it's no longer tackled. Mm. It's no longer dealt with like you and I are dealing with it. So I guess the Holy Spirit is still reaching out to the body of Christ and saying there is a submission here. There is a devotion here. I always enjoy reading the book of Revelation, most especially when I come to the part of the elders and they take their crowns and they put them, you know, these are crowned the people. Maybe we don't have all the details as to why they are wearing crowns, but nevertheless, the crowns on their head signify that they are, you know, highly respected.
There's power, there's authority there.
Yes, there's honor, there's authority there. Nevertheless, when Jesus is on the scene, when the Father is on the scene, they take their crowns and they place their crowns at the Lord's feet, and they say, because you are worthy.
Yeah.
And so to me, that is the epitome of devotion. When you yourself are in authority, when you yourself have been honored, and you go, yes, but he is the greatest.
So what we're saying is that these people try to redefine Christianity because they don't want to submit to the Lord. That's in essence what we're saying, right?
That's what it comes down to.
Because at the end of the day, people want to extract certain things from Christianity, certain benefits, if you will, and they like the tag, but they don't want the responsibility associated with Christianity, which is submitting to God. You know, the Bible tells us that we must submit to God. James tells us in his fourth chapter that we must submit to the Lord. People have a huge problem with submission because, like, they typically say with their actions, they don't say it with their words, not your will be done, but my will be done.
And I think it must be clarified immediately that we are not promoters of lordship salvation.
Yes.
Because somebody would listen to this and they would say, they haven't said it, but I think they're preaching lordship salvation. That's not what we're preaching at all. But the fact remains that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
And we owe him devotion. And the Bible calls us to devotion. So I wanted to clarify that, Gio, because some people are automatically reading into your statements and into mine statements. And I, for one, very, very sure, you can take this to the bank. I'm not, you know, of that camp called lordship.
Yeah, neither am I. Neither am I. There are people out there that will teach that repentance is essential for salvation. But when you look at the biblical text, repentance is, I guess you can call it a condition for communion.
For fellowship.
For fellowship with God. But there are people that you hear them all the time. You need to repent and you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they try to make this a mixture. And that's another topic for another day because we can get sidetracked theologically speaking, which we should deal with it.
Yeah, I just thought it was important to clarify that because, like I said, people read into your statements and into mine. And then they'll go out there tomorrow and say, oh, these two are lordship salvation. No, we're not.
Yeah. So, you know, it's good. We'll deal with that in a future podcast. I think it's good to deal with that. So, in essence, returning to what we were talking about, in essence, any definition or interpretation that deviates from the main definition of what it means to be a Christian, we can call it an aberration and a fallacy, right?
To a certain degree.
Yeah. So, we have to now come and define what proper Christianity is. What is true Christianity? According to what we see in the Bible is A, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. B, you have to believe in that vicarious sacrifice. You have to believe that he died on the cross and he resurrected. Romans 10:9. Very simple. And then the third, in order to properly identify yourself as a Christian, you have to what? Live a consecrated life.
Yes, submit to the tenets.
Exactly. So those are simple tenets to submit to, but people seem to have an issue. I guess you can say with the whole system, but more specifically with the third out of all of these. See, a lot of people don't have a problem with believing in Jesus. The problem is they see, oh man, if I believe in Jesus, then I'm going to have to change my way of living. And I don't want to do that. That's where a lot of people get sidetracked on this stuff. Now, we leave that behind, understanding that I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
You know what is troublesome about this? And you were talking about people that are dedicated to the League Against Cancer and other causes. That some people, talking about sinners now, who obviously are not born again, are more devoted to some of these issues than to some of the simple tenets of the Christian faith.
Yeah.
The Bible teaches us that if your brother is hungry, is in need of clothing, and you go, yeah, I'll be praying for you. Absolutely. Just get that confession going, brother, and decree it, and you'll see wonderful manifestations of the power of God. I'll see you tomorrow. No, the Bible says that if you have the capability, if you have the resources, you should step up to the plate and say, here's the clothing you need. Here's the food that you need. Right. And so even in that, we show zero devotion. And I believe the main reason behind that, Gio, is selfishness.
Yes.
We are so self-centered that we can't find it within ourselves, of course, to bring Christ to his proper place in our soul and in our hearts, first place,
yeah.
And to follow him and honor him and obey him.
Oh, but that's a sad commentary on the current state. But, you know, it's been that way for a long time, and you can prove that through the scriptures, that there are going to be people that, even though they are Christians, they're not going to be entirely devoted. And it's a sad commentary on those that think this way, that act in a certain way, where you see sinners behaving more Christian than Christians themselves.
Well, when you use not entirely devoted, I've also heard that entire devotion, devoted entirely, is something that ministers do. I don't know where they get that from, because the Bible doesn't allow me to glean that from his pages. Devotion is something that every believer owes God.
Yeah.
And I use the word owes God because perhaps another word doesn't come to mind now, but it's something that should be, you know, just flowing from the heart.
Yeah, almost second nature, so to speak.
Some would describe it that way. I think it's like breathing. It's, if you're born again, And you have, your inner man has been regenerated, you want to love the Lord.
Absolutely.
But the flesh kicks in, and there's selfishness in the flesh. And so there's the conflict right there.
Well, exactly. That's the next point that we wanted to touch on. I'm glad you brought it up, because I guess that's the answer to why many people aren't devoted, is because you have now the flesh versus regenerated spirit. So there's going to be that constant pulling and tugging. Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7 very clearly. Now, we have to make sure that we clearly establish that this does not justify indifference. Because some people say, yeah, that's it. That's the answer right there. I'm struggling with my flesh, and my regenerated man is pulling and tugging, and that's it. But a lot of people use that just to justify their condition and stay stuck in neutral and not do anything about it. They're living in a spiritual icebox of sorts, lukewarmness, you know?
There are samples and illustrations in many walks of life to exhibit this. You take a guy who is not ready to be married and much less have kids. He still wants to hang around with his buddies. And so, nevertheless, he gets married and he has a couple of kids. After work, he's gone to play a little golf or play a little basketball or play a little football or hang with the guys. And he shows up at 11 o'clock at night. Kids don't get to see dad. The wife is aggravated, she is insulted, she is hurt by this man's attitude. There is no, I'm going to use the word now, devotion. It's all about him, it's all about what he wants. And so if you move that over, if you take that illustration and, you know, apply it to your spiritual walk, there comes a point in your spiritual walk where you dry up, you shrivel up, your relationship, your fellowship with God is non-existent.
Yeah.
And then when everything just ransacks you, when everything hits you, you go like, Father, and where were you, and how come you've allowed this? And they act silly.
Yeah. Now you play the blame game with God.
Exactly. And you go like, this has got to stop. And then, you know, this is what we're tackling in this issue.
Now, a lot of people, they ignore, the Bible tells us not to ignore Satan's stratagems, his machinations. Because this guy, he's not only the father of lies, but he knows how to get Christians involved in some twisted situations, as we see, for example, Paul writing to the Corinthians. He writes to the Galatians. Who brought this unto you that now you're shifting your view from the gospel to other things? So One of the things that I wanted to point out, and I think it's important that we do so, is that a lot of Christians are involved in trivialities. They're involved in things that are not important, and this is what sucks up a lot of their time and a lot of their life. Satan is an expert, and so are his minions, in selling what is unimportant as important to everyone, including Christians, because he knows that if Christians get involved in what is unimportant, trivial, temporal, that eventually they're going to let their devotion to God slip, and therefore they're not going to be serviceable. Their lives are not going to be effective. So one of the things that you see a lot of Christians getting involved in, and I see this a lot with the youth, you see this a lot with adults, because this is who we particularly minister to, they're involved in things that just are nonsensical, either too much TV watching, surfing the internet too much, being involved with friends, just so many dumb undertakings, if that's what you want to call it.
I think the word we're looking for, and it's a great tool for Satan, if you really think about it, is called entertainment.
Yeah.
If he keeps you entertained, he keeps you in these issues and these forms of activities that at the end of the day, they tend amount to zero.
Yeah.
And so when the Greeks brought that into the main area of life, people said, oh, this is wonderful for the weekends, for a little spare time. But now it dominates our lives to the point that right after the news, what do we get? An hour of entertainment gossip.
Yeah.
That's how strong it is. And people would rather listen to an entertainer speak about this topic or that other topic, even though they probably know very little about that, but they have become a mouthpiece for that, than to a well-educated man or woman who has very reasonable and enlightened things to say about those things. Because entertainment has become a great tool, and by that I mean Satan uses it to the max to keep people entertained.
But this is what's happening in the churches. It's reflective of what's happening in the churches. People are going and sitting in the pews in essence to be entertained so that their egos may be soothed and massaged. They don't want to be confronted with the truth of the gospel. You're wrong in lusting and coveting. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I'd rather hear that I'm going to be prosperous, that every day is a Friday, that I can be successful today or yesterday. They don't want to hear the truth of the gospel message. They don't want to hear what God has to say to us about living correctly for Jesus. That's just not entertaining enough.
Well, this is why I brought the Greeks into the conversation, because when you look into their ruins and into their culture and into their background, you see the great buildings for entertainment. You don't see that in the Jewish background.
That's what I was going to ask you. In the Jewish culture, they absolutely abhorred this. As a matter of fact, they said, we don't want this in our culture for a very particular reason, just like you were alluding to. Entertainment has a way to suck you in and distract you from the important things. And this is where I think that God is calling our generation, as he has in generations past and future generations until his imminent return, to focus away from the unimportant things, to take away the focus from things that are trivial. Jesus himself said, do not place your treasures on things that are easily corruptible here on earth, but place your treasures in heaven. And how do we begin by doing that? By reading the Word of God, by adapting these things, applying these things to our life. We want to finish with this. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Galatians, says that we should walk according to the Spirit, that we should walk in the Spirit. That way we would not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's a very simple solution, but it's very hard sometimes for us Christians to follow. Why? Because we have to arise against that flesh nature. But once we do, and we walk according to the Spirit, Paul tells us that, in essence, we're going to crucify the flesh and its desires. Now, what are some of the things that he talks about that we need to develop? These fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think you would agree with me in saying that if we adopt these things into our life, our walk with God will be nurtured. It will take the foremost place. It would have this utmost importance in our life. And therefore, our walk with God now will be the most important thing in our life, and we would dedicate and be wholly devoted to our Maker, to our Creator.
I think whatever draws you is the evidence that you need as to if you are in the Spirit or not. If the things of God, the things of the Spirit are drawing you, and you find that your time, your money, and your effort is going to that, then you're walking in the spirit. If you find that entertainment, sports, things that don't include God or God is not the center of them, if that is drawing you, if that is using up your time and your money and your efforts, then you're probably not walking in the spirit. I think these things are very simple, but you said something earlier that is important. We choose to fool ourselves into believing that I can do this my own way. The Bible shows us what a consecrated person thinks, speaks, and does.
Absolutely.
And so I think whatever is drawing me is a very telling, it's evidence as to whether I'm walking in the Spirit or not.
Absolutely. I want to leave everyone with this quote from Pastor H.A. Ironside, and it says the following, quote, "No one ever lost out by excessive devotion to Christ," end quote. I think he pretty much surmised it there, you know.
It's pretty clear.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us again for this podcast. I want to thank you, Pastor Martinez, for joining us again on this podcast. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to email those to us, info@lwym.org, info@lwym.org. Until the next edition, may the Lord shine his face upon you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or suggested topics for future shows, send them our way to info@lwym.org. That's info@lwym.org. Visit our website in order to download past episodes and subscribe to our free email updates. The web address is www.lwym.org/ATA. This has been Absolute Truth Absolutely. Absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty.